Welcome to 10-5, the official podcast of the OPP Association. I am Scott Mills.
And I'm Josh Chutris. We are the Strategic Communications Coordinators for the OPP Association and your hosts for the 10-5 podcast, the official podcast of the OPP Association. Our topic for this episode is uniform recruiting in the Ontario Provincial Police, and we have Inspector Chris Collins, who is in charge of uniform recruiting for the OPP, and OPP Association Director Mike Adair.
And before we get into the discussion, we're going to provide some context and background on who we are and what our objectives of the 10-5 podcast are.
The OPP Association is the sole bargaining agent for the close to 10,000 members of the Ontario Provincial Police in Ontario, Canada. Our members include uniformed frontline sworn police officers, as well as civilian employees of the OPP. We also represent retired members. Our members are our focus and our strength, and we aim to provide important information to our members and the public about matters that affect policing in the province of Ontario.
Thanks, Josh. Let's get right into it with Chris and Mike. Question number one here for Chris. We heard recently in three episodes from the OPP Association with our guest, Director Jason Call, about a shortage in frontline staffing for the Ontario Provincial Police. How many uniform OPP members are you trying to recruit, and what are your timelines to do this?
Thanks, Scott. Since the summer of 2020, we've been tasked with filling recruit intakes of 135 per class, and that's three times a year. And in addition, we're also running three experienced police officer intakes a year, and they typically run around 24 experienced police officers in each of those classes. And we've even had an add-on experienced police officer intake in November of 2020, where we nearly doubled the typical class size. Now, that being said, you know, we've been successful in meeting these hiring demands thus far, and we're definitely forecasted to maintain this momentum through 2022.
Mike, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this, on how many frontline uniform OPP officers need to be hired, what the association's perspective is, and the timelines for making that hiring happen.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. To continue off from where Chris left off, I think those numbers need to be maintained for 5 years with the numbers Chris provided. That's where I'm kind of going. That's taken into account that there's an average of roughly 240 members per year that retire, and we can't afford to take our foot off the gas and fall behind like we have before, especially now. We're getting a lot of information from our members on the road through our staffing forums, as Director Call brought forth, and it's just they're getting burnt out, overworked, at a time when mental health has never been so much in the forefront. So I agree with Chris with his numbers, but I hope that they do maintain the momentum through 2022 and further along, so that it's, like I said, 5 years.
Thanks, Mike. Chris, we got another question here. We understand that there are a number of efforts underway to address member feedback from recent OPP internal reviews. Can you elaborate on this for our listeners?
Absolutely, Scott. So member feedback it's always been important to us. And over the last couple of years in particularly, we've had a number of reviews here in uniform recruitment, including a uniform recruitment review where we had focus groups across the province where they examined the constable selection system and were able to provide feedback. We also have a number of member recommendations that stem from the mental health review and the independent review panel on workplace culture as well. And all of these recommendations were brought forward to uniform recruitment. And that said, I can say that there's a lot of common recommendations out of those reviews. Some of those included our psychological testing, you know, making some enhancements to better understand resiliency in a policing context. And we also had recommendations to enhance our equity, diversity, and inclusion. And also another common recommendation we received was frontline member participation in the recruitment interview process. Another thing comes to mind was having more of a frontline focus on social media and a further emphasis on the realities of policing with our potential candidates. So in terms of our psychological testing enhancements, you know, we've taken several steps over the last couple of years to better understand the fit for role for the position of police constable. And I can tell you in 2019, we added three additional psychometric tests to our psychological stage, and also included a mandatory interview with our OPP psychologist or one of our psychometrists. So these tests, they include the 16 personality factories inventory, which is a police-related assessment tool. And what it does is it summarizes 16 personality factors that can help assess a candidate's tendency towards resiliency and also positive personality traits. We also added the MPULSE assessment, and I won't trouble you with the acronym. It's hard for me to spell out, but it was designed to identify a candidate's liability potential and to predict officer misconduct. And it actually gauges attitudes and beliefs and facets of personality that are prime importance to police work. It, too, is specifically designed for law enforcement and is currently used in agencies from across North America. The third assessment we introduced is called the Connor-Davidson Resiliency Scale, and it's a widely used assessment, and it's used to investigate how candidates cope with stress and assist in our screening individuals for high risk and high stress activity. And I can also tell you about recently Command invested significant resources in helping us better understand resiliency, and through consultations with our internal external stakeholders, we now are getting a solid understanding of the importance or the important role that behaviors and competencies play in our hiring process and trying to assess that fit for the role. And really, and what we're learning is that competencies, they can actually help prevent mental health injuries in the workplace when you have a candidate who strongly aligns with those competencies. So we're currently piloting a predictive behavioral analytics survey that is widely used. It's used in the NHL, I believe, NCAA, and some Fortune 500 companies. And we're piloting this assessment to better understand resiliency through a competency and performance lens. And right now, we've gone through the benchmarking process, and we've identified these 24 behavioral traits that are common amongst frontline OPP officers. And these behaviors, well, they come together to build essential competencies. So just getting into the competencies, we identified some competencies that are present today in our current constable selection system. But in addition to, we've teamwork came out as an important competency, valuing diversity, community focus, concern for impact and influence, self-control, and problem solving. These competency buckets, per se, have really shown to be essential to help somebody have, we call it sustained performance, or be able to thrive in a policing environment long term. So we're definitely learning a lot as we move through this process, through this pilot. And just for the viewers out there, this assessment is going to be conducted pre-interview, and it's to help provide insights to the recruiter interview. And it provides candidates strengths for the role and allows our recruiters to probe areas where the candidate may require more effort. And the assessment will also be used to support our psychological and our background findings as well.
Hey,
and,
Chris.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to chime in there. I know there's just some kind of with that impulse. I'm just curious. Like, it sounds pretty like high tech, like almost like something out of that movie, The Minority Report, where you know you're gauging possible officer misconduct before it even happens. Can you just for my sense, could you elaborate more on how far you take that and what consequences it may have or not have on a recruit?
Oh, absolutely. So just like all our psychological assessments, the results are one thing, but we validate all the results through the psychological interview, but also the background stage, you know, because there could be times where there could be a false positive for a candidate. So what we do is, yeah, we substantiate all the results, all the testing results that come out of the psychological testing. Right, so we'll be looking at the person's to see if some of this potential is manifested in the person's background, right?
I gotcha.
But yeah, it's a psychometric assessment, and they build a there's a normative of police officers that's helped build this assessment. That's how it works.
Okay, so basically it's a tool, and it can actually be used to get back to an officer for, you know, to better themselves, so to speak, for if they're not successful, or where does this fall in line with, like, the cutting, say, so to speak, of a possible candidate?
Yeah, so just say in the example that you provided where a candidate's declined because of their psychological results, you know, we don't provide feedback to candidates on the outcomes of the hiring process as a whole. So it's not necessarily an assessment that will provide feedback to the candidate.
Okay, so this is just this is just an addition to the current and past psychological
gotcha. Yeah, that's correct.
Hey Chris, it's Scott here. I've spoken with a few recruits lately, and that weren't successful. They were applicants, and they were quite frustrated by not receiving feedback as to how they could improve. Is there any reason why that feedback's not given?
Well, you know, Scott, it's a difficult place to be. We definitely understand and appreciate a candidate's disappointment when they're not successful. You know, we realize that it's not a typical hiring process. Our candidates will invest a lot of time in preparing themselves for their application. And so when not successful, yeah, it's certainly disappointing. But when it comes to feedback, it would be difficult for us to give feedback consistently, because, you know, sometimes it could be something as simple as, you know, you got to work on your fitness. But, you know, sometimes it's information received that's, through a third party, whether it be police records or even references and whatnot, that we wouldn't be in a position to share that information, right? So that's why we're just consistent in that we don't give feedback. But what we do is we connect with our candidates and those that are interested in reapplying. And if you happen to get a hold of a recruiter at an information session or on social media, you know, you can ask those questions and you can have those discussions on how you can better prepare yourself in all our areas of assessment, right? And self-reflect. That's the biggest thing that we do when we have conversations with our candidates is self-reflect. Having that self-reflection, that self-awareness of your strengths, maybe some weaknesses and where you can develop, I think, is very important. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that answers my question. We'll just turn it over to Josh. I think he's up next.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the diversity and inclusion efforts currently underway by the OPP in the recruitment.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for asking, Josh. You know, what we're realizing, it's one thing to have recruitment outreach, but it's even more important to have a mix of outreach, developmental opportunities, like such as employment opportunities or even volunteer opportunities, right, to really cultivate a pool of diverse applicants. So that we've taken this approach to enhancing our diversity and inclusion. So starting with, you know, we've hired a diversity coordinator. We've started this position in uniform recruitment to help provide some leadership to the recruitment team, but also to our different programs and services more effectively, you know, develop and implement different programs and services that are tailored to each unique audience, right? And we've seen this has been successful. And part of this program, they're part of developing and soon to be hopefully launching our Northern Ontario Cadet Program pilot that we're looking to have a focus on Indigenous candidates. And so that's something that we're looking forward to. So that's part of those employment opportunities, right? Also, we work in partnership with our auxiliary program. The auxiliary program's also enhancing its efforts across the province and, you know, working with vocational, like post-secondary institutes and whatnot to streamline the auxiliary program, so you can streamline high potential candidates right into volunteering opportunities. So that seems to be working for us as well. And also we've relaunched the Recruit Essential Attributes for Competitive Hiring. It's called the REACH program. It's a mentoring program. And it's kind of similar to the OPPA HINTS program, that it provides like application preparation, interview preparation. And what's really going to help us be successful this time around is that we're leveraging our recruitment ambassadors. So we have like 80 plus recruitment ambassadors that are spread out across the province that are going to help us realize mentoring a higher volume of potential candidates, right? So these are some of the efforts that we're trying to put together here to, you know, to increase our diversity outcomes. You know, it's a multifaceted approach, and it, you know, it starts with creating those opportunities for people, right? We launched a participant survey too, as well, for feedback for as part of our outreach initiative. So, following an outreach information session or whatnot, we put the survey out to get the feedback from the participants, right, to see what how we can improve and better get the message across and help them with their preparing for their police application.
I just heard there might be some trademark infringements there with our HINTS program, Chris. I'll have to talk to Executive Officer Gwen Carr and see how familiar she is with your program. But yeah, like just to jump on that, on the association side, we, as Chris mentioned, we have the HINTS program. Potential candidates can get it through family referrals. It's open to civilian members, auxiliaries, cadets, and all you need to receive the or get involved in the in our HINTS program is you have to have applied to the OPP and have a file number, and then you call our executive officer for education and training, Gwen Carr, and she'll book the interview and get you going. So it's HINTS, which stands for Helpful Information Needed to Succeed. And you know what? We have a really, really high success rate with the ones that have gone through our program.
Yeah, that's excellent, Mike. Yeah, the feedback that we get from the recruiters, it definitely helps prepare them, especially for the interview in particular. That's where I hear the most feedback. It's a great program. And yeah, we really appreciate the support we get from the association.
Yeah, and it's really good, just touching on that, cadets. I heard that it was starting in the Northwest, and I was pretty excited because I know that naturally creates a hiring pool, right? Kind of like the auxiliaries are kind of like, you know, I guess what, there's a 40, 50% of them, maybe that's too high, but I know with cadets, the rollover to full uniform, it was pretty high when the cadet program was up and running when I was younger years ago.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mike. Like that's what we've realized that is that's where we need to be. You know, we have a modernization of recruitment within the OPP strategy, and part of which is creating these feeder pools, so to speak. You know, where we can cultivate future police officers, right? And the auxiliary program is a great example of that. We've actually worked with the auxiliary program to align our hiring processes, so now it makes the transition a lot easier for those members. It's very similar. So it's it really improves the outcomes for sure.
Chris, Scott here again. I understand there's some frontline member participation in the recruitment interview these days. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you know what, Scott? This is something that we're working towards. It was a recommendation from the mental health review. And it was a common recommendation that we received in another review as well. And it's something we're working towards. We launched an EOI, I believe it was in the spring. We are hoping to get a better turnout for the expression of interest. So the expression of interest, it's an addendum to the frontline officer role. So we didn't get the turnout that we were hoping for. So what we did is we regrouped. And now we got the support of the command, and we're gonna do like a communication strategy to better promote it to the members, and that includes we're gonna put out some spotlight articles before we run the EOI again, and see if we can drum up some more interest for that. But it's something that we're actually very, very looking forward to. It puts us more in alignment with some of those other police services out there that run the panel interview. Because currently, right now, we only have a one-person recruiter in the interview, right? So it's definitely going to it's going to be great to have that frontline perspective as well.
And it takes away from that interrogation-type feeling, right? It's more of a modern approach to hiring.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the the panel interview definitely is will be an enhancement for sure.
One thing on here, Chris, on the list of points we were going to talk about is social media. And I've got a bit of a background in social media for law enforcement, and that really excited me that you're using social media. And I've been following some of your recruitment officers on Instagram story especially, and I think they do a really good job. Can you just elaborate a little bit on the social media outreach?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, social media, it has provided us an opportunity to reach a far greater audience. And I can tell you, because I see the applications coming, we get applications from all over the world. You know, we have there's permanent residents in Canada citizens across the globe, and so yeah, we're definitely getting a good reach. And social media allows us to connect with people in a meaningful way. You know, we have the Facebook account. The Facebook account, I would say, is more geared towards educational items and topics, whereas Instagram, it's there's still some educational pieces on there, but it's more interactive and more visuals and that sort of thing, right? And Twitter is also a good way to connect with people. But yeah, it definitely gives us a far greater reach. You know, we actually receive feedback from the front line that we need a bit more of a frontline focus. So yeah, I believe it's the fall of 2019 where we transitioned our social media to more of a frontline focus. It's important that yes, we have careers within a career, but definitely it's great. I think it's very important for us to have more of a frontline focus on there. And so we've done that. So member feedback as well is that, you know, we can't do enough to educate our candidates on the realities of policing, right? So we try to do our best to do those interviews with the officers, the virtual ride-alongs, you know, this sort of thing. To share those personal stories, you know, working shift work, balancing shift work and parenthood and so on, these sort of things, right?
Well, I remember even a number of years ago, the OPP recruitment unit was recognized for their social media, and they were actually speakers down in the States at a social media, internet, and law enforcement conference. And they were doing an excellent job and have been for some time. So thanks for that. It's good to see that you're focusing on the front line and the stories. And I know that this podcast is being listened to around the world because I can see the analytics on it. And I know that we're going to get inquiries from other countries. If we get inquiries from other countries, what do we tell people that write in? Do they just reach out directly to your office? Is there a qualifications list on the website, or how does that work?
Yeah, thanks for that, Scott. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's lots of different ways that, you know, candidates can get a hold of someone here in uniform recruitment. They could try us through a direct message through one of our social media accounts. And also what I'll do is if we can make reference to the show notes, I can share our email address and our phone number with you as well.
Join us next week for the conclusion of our conversation on recruitment with OPP Inspector Chris Collins and OPPA Director Mike Adair. All episodes are always available online at our blog at oppa.ca/media. And if you like what you hear, please use the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. For Scott Mills, I'm Josh Jutras. Thank you for listening, and be safe.